have no conflicts of interest to disclose. Just want to give a special thanks to the MARI team in the epidemiology branch in the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention at CDC. Many of us have seen this slide that shows the number of new HIV infections by different age categories, and that there's even recent data from the Centers for Disease Control that says that given the current trends in prevention, treatment, and care, that if those trends continue, that 1 in 2 black MSM will be diagnosed with HIV in their lifetime compared to 1 in 11 of white MSM. But if we look at this slide from a health disparities lens, we see that the highest number of new HIV infections are among black MSM between the ages of 13 to 34 in the South. And so so that tells us that the disparities of HIV are greatest in the South, where we see that 1 in 5 black MSM are living with HIV compared to 1 in 22 white MSM. And that black MSM in deep southern states such as Mississippi and Georgia are at the nexus of the epidemic. So I want to hone in on specifically to the deep South, because they have different cultural, political, and historical trends that really exacerbate HIV in these areas. And so not only do we see these trends in HIV, but we also see it in other sexually transmitted infections, wherein Mississippi leads the nation in gonorrhea and chlamydia. But if we look specifically in the Deep South, we see that black MSM represent 1 in 2,500 U.S. citizens, which is roughly 2% of MSM in the U.S. However, black MSM in the Deep South account for 10 to 14% of new HIV infections and nearly two-thirds that occur among black men. So despite decades of research that has really characterized this black MSM paradox, it lends us to begin to look at a shift towards more contextual factors, such as network characteristics for our social networks or sexual networks, or other factors such as looking at sexual position or sexual practices within the context of sexual partnerships. So this led us to look at how black MSM report their sexual positioning during sexual acts. Because if we look at the transmission of HIV, the highest category is within condomless anal receptive sex. But this could be a fluid characteristic that can change over time. So there's a literature that has shown that STI infections, especially those in the rectum, increases susceptibility to HIV. So one may think that one that is a bottom partner or the receptive partner is it a higher risk for HIV, but however, there's a mixed literature on that. We see that genital and extragenital STIs do vary, with the extragenital prevalence rates being much higher than what one may see in the urethra, which there was a practice where generally STIs were tested in urine. So this really supports the recommendations that CDC has made to test site-specific STIs, especially in MSM. So therefore, this can lead to a better understanding of behaviors or trends that can help to mitigate the HIV epidemic among black MSM. So we were provided funding from the CDC through the Minority HIV/AIDS Research Initiative to begin to understand this environmental riskscape that increases the susceptibility to HIV among black MSM, wherein we would look at the interrelationships between many of these multi-level contexts that can contribute to HIV in black MSM. So it's the MARI study, which is locally known as such, is a collaboration between two community-based organizations with nearly 4 decades of addressing HIV and black MSM, specifically My Brother's Keeper, my home institution, and AID Atlanta and NACIM Inc. here in Atlanta. The eligibility for study participants is shown here, wherein men who self-identified as black or African-American, male sex as birth, 18 years or older, engaging in oral or anal sex in the 6 months prior to study enrollment, and residents in Jackson or Atlanta. So participants came in for their clinical visit, and during that visit they self-collected rectal and anal rectal and pharyngeal swabs and also provided a self-collected urine sample. So between July 2013 and December 2015, we were able to recruit 718 black MSM, and the current analyses are on a preliminary data set for 2013 and 2014. So just some demographics of our sample. The mean age was roughly 30 years, with the majority of participants being reflective of the current HIV epidemic among black MSM, so those 18 to 29. And two-thirds reported or self-reported being homosexual or gay. So what's really discerning here is that we see that 4 in 10 black MSM in the Deep South, or at least within the study, reported having a high school diploma or less, and 6 in 10 reported an annual income that is well below the federal poverty rate or being currently unemployed. The HIV serial status of those that were previously diagnosed is roughly 40%, with 4% having a new diagnosis of HIV. So in terms of the other STIs, we see approximately 16% that tested positive for a rectal gonorrhea or chlamydia, 10% in the oral cavity, and 4% in the urethra. So this slide demonstrates that those participants that self-report as being versatile, so almost having the best of both worlds, so the insertive or the being an insertive and receptive partner, had a much higher rate of testing positive for rectal STIs. Then here, as one would potentially suspect, that those that reported being the top or the insertive partner reported approximately 4 times higher or tested 4 times more than those that reported being versatile. And so as one would expect, that one that reported being exclusively bottom as the receptive partner, there were no infections that we saw within this cohort. So in multivariable regression analyses, we do see that those that report being versatile were at a 2 times higher odds of having a reactive or showing the presence of a rectal STI, which is opposite of what some research has shown, wherein you see higher rates for those that report being exclusively the bottom partner. And then as this data support that those with, those that report being the top are at a 2 times greater odds of having a urethral STI. And this is after adjusting for age, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, transgender identity, and socioeconomic status. So just in summary, we see that rectal STIs are highest among black MSM who report being a versatile or bottom partner during anal sex. And the association among those that report being versatile persisted after adjustment for sociodemographic characteristics. Second, black MSM who report being in the top position during anal sex had a 2-fold greater odds of urethral chlamydia than men who reported a versatile position during anal sex. We did not observe any consistent associations with oral STIs, and that these observations or these observed associations did not vary by STI status or study site, with our 2 study sites being Jackson, Mississippi and Atlanta, Georgia. So just some limitations of the study. Our cross-sectional study design limits us from making causal inferences, and that we our sexual position data was self-reported. However, this has informed some future work that we have ongoing now in Jackson and other parts of the Deep South, where we're looking at lifetime sexual positioning. So as I was mentioning earlier, your sexual behavior may change over time. So you may start off as a bottom and then have some encounters, maybe one that has exposed you to or has exposed one to HIV, and then that sexual behavior may change over the course of the lifetime. But some of the strengths of the study is the large population-based sample, which is one of the major advantages, especially with this being one of the first cohort studies in this region, and it's not on a convenient sample as many studies that have been done in Jackson that have been done out of clinics. And also, we have objective genital and extragenital STI testing data. Again, sexual positioning during anal sex may be an important sexual behavior that provides us with a more nuanced understanding of sexual behaviors beyond just condom use and the report of insertive or receptive sex. So this allows us or can inform public health practitioners to have a better to consider a more comprehensive HIV prevention effort when encountering black MSM of youth and of older age, wherein our sexual behaviors may differ over one's life course. So I'd like to thank our the MARI study participants for their time and consideration for being in the study, our MARI study team, as well as my CDC project officers and collaborators. Are there any questions?
Thank you. I'm Judy with U.S. Military HIV Research Program. I think you said this before, but are there no other studies that have shown support for what you found, or did you find anything related?
There is a few that have shown this in relation to HIV infection, not specific to site-specific STIs that I'm recalling at this moment. I know that there's work with Rick Crosby, who has done who also has a study in Jackson where he's looked at condom use and other sexual behaviors in relation to sexual position.
And do you have any kind of biological or what is your speculation as to why we would expect to see the bottom at highest risk? So what do you think is going on with that?
Well, I think there's a number of things going on. First, if we think of even preparation for sex, where one that reports being the bottom uses a rectal douche. And so we see, even in this cohort, roughly two-thirds of black MSM who report being the bottom engage in rectal douching before sex. So if we think of that, that can have damage on the epithelial or the mucosa in the rectum, which can create an inflamed environment that increases the transmission of HIV if one is exposed. The second is also the sexual behaviors the behaviors that occur during sex. So if one uses, the top uses his saliva as a lubricant, that is one that can damage the mucosa in the rectum as well as the type of lubricant that is used. So we've seen different work that has supported that has shown one even the transmission of STIs in the oral cavity being transmitted to the rectum. That was a recent paper that came out, and then also work by colleagues in Pittsburgh that have recently shown lubricant use having an association with STIs in the rectum.
Hi, I was just curious. I found this very interesting. I was just wondering how else have you shared this information or disseminated it to the public?
Well, as one aspect of the study, we disseminate lay summaries to all of our study participants. And so during the study visit, we collected a wealth of contact information. So as a community-based organization who grounds our work in community-based participatory research, that is one of our avenues in which we disseminate our information. Also, we have a community advisory board specifically for research that allows us to get input on the study design, where they review the study aims, any study data that's going to be disseminated. Then also conferences such as this one. So I saw my 0-minute sign, and I want to thank everybody for their attention.